I lock my chicken in a bucket. This is Core.
Everybody, welcome to Core, episode 51. I'm Scott Johnson with Bo Schwartz and John Jagger, and sorry about that intro. It was very last second. I just had to throw something together. And I do like my chicken in a bucket, if you want the truth. I really do.
If I think that was
chicken somewhere, that's a good place to put it, in a bucket.
May as well be in the bucket. Bo, what are you going to say? What were you going to say?
I think that's one of the best ones we've done, actually. Sometimes necessity is the mother of invention.
That's true.
You may have invented a new style of podcast intro. The unprepared podcast intro.
I mean, the problem was Bo and I were playing a game right before we started, and it went a little long. Got our asses handed to us. Your Zarya is still new. My Nazebo understanding is still weak, and we did not carry our team to victory. And our Murky was not happy about it. So we were doing that right up until record time, and then bam, show starts. What are you going to do? I had to make do with what I had. I was the Grizzly Adams of podcasters and just threw some shit together right there at the beginning. So welcome to the show, everybody. It's good to be here.
Hold on. Wait a second.
Yeah.
You guys had a Murky, a character that is in dire need of buffs and currently has a lot of counters, hard counters, mind you, in the game, who decided to queue up in Quick Match the same day that a brand new hero has been released and massive changes have occurred.
Yeah.
And he was upset about the performance of his team.
Yeah, that was happening. And also, he was convinced that we were throwing the game, which we weren't doing. I mean, you know, were we playing at our highest level? No. And Bo kept making it clear that we were having fun in Quick Match. And he says, how is throwing the game fun? And really, all I wanted to do was dunk his head in a toilet.
I didn't have time to say it, but you can't throw a game you've been losing the whole
time. Right.
If we can throw a game we're losing, that's impressive. We deserve MVP.
Yeah, isn't throwing it's like Shoeless Joe Jackson. You don't throw it until it's near the end and you have to look like you lost fair and square. Isn't that throwing a game?
Well, something along those lines. Throwing is when you're doing really well.
Like
you've got Michael Jordan, you're 100 baskets ahead of the other team, and then all of a sudden you let the other team win.
Yeah, it was your game to throw at that point.
Yeah,
we never had that.
That's a throw, guys.
Yeah.
If you're losing the whole way, you can't throw it. Yeah. You have throw protection.
Yeah, and on top of that, by the way, there was this other problem that creeped up into that game, which was this was my first time on Warhead Junction ever, and I didn't know what we were doing. Like, how are you? What are we doing? Oh, I guess we're capturing the little bottles of goo. Okay, great. Then what? I don't know. I never got one. I have no idea. Because Nazebo is a whole different character now, which I'm not complaining about. I'm excited, but he's totally different. Totally different.
How do you like your jar of nothing?
It sucks. That feels
bad. Is it
better
than jar of spiders?
Let me tell you why that feels bad to me. This is a good time to bring this up. So I was having a hard time figuring out the best way to use it. And there are times where you might hit a minion, but you don't see the spiders because they're all scurrying underneath the minions. If you're paying attention, you can see damage numbers popping, and so you kind of have an idea that they're doing something. Then there are times where you throw it and you're sure you hit something, but no damage numbers are there and no minion or no spiders to be found. It is really easy to avoid because it's a slow-moving projectile launch of a thing. You're throwing a jar. It's full of spiders. And if you're ETC, you just slide right out of there and you don't get hit. And what happens is you just have a piece of, I don't know, ancient Nazebo vase just goes and the jar breaks on the ground and nothing comes out of it. And it's kind of feels bad. Like it feels like you're doing nothing. Like you just threw nothing and you're waiting 12 seconds to try to do nothing again.
There's no shrapnel even. Like you figure if you miss, at least there'd be like an AOE of shrapnel. Bases are pretty sharp when they hit the ground hard.
I agree. They could have actually maybe had a talent to do that. I wouldn't mind a way to buff that because right now it feels like I guess I'm going to do toads and zombie builds now because it's not that I can't do a good skill shot with a good character. It's just that these feel really unforgiving and maybe it's just me and it's only one game. So I don't want to judge it yet, but it feels very unforgiving. If I am even not, like I'll throw it at a character and it'll hit just off to where their feet are, but I feel like they're in the circle I made. it's still not launching the spider sometimes. So maybe there's some adjusting, some tweaking that needs to happen there. I don't know. We'll try them some more tonight. But I think it's zombie circle jerk night for me. Okay? All right.
All right.
You heard it here first.
That sounded bad. Hey, can we talk about Battlerite for a second? I got an email from somebody actually that fills that asks a question that is similar to what we're going to share here at the top. We know it's not a this is not Heroes of the Storm we're talking about. It's a different game, but I think it's important for us to mention it. Sean Blonde wrote in, says, "What do you guys think of Battlerite? Love to hear your thoughts." I played a whole bunch since buying it. John, we played a bunch together.
Yep.
And basically, for those thinking it's another MOBA, you're wrong if you're thinking of MOBAs as there are lanes and here are towers and we have minions and get to the other team's thing, whether it be their core or their whatever. That's not what this is at all. It is more like, if you've ever played or seen any World of Warcraft arena matches, it's like arena, but a thousand times better, maybe. It's really good. Like, it plays really well. You play it like you do WoW Arena. You have, you know, go in with your set of abilities. You have kind of... All right, so here's what I think the essential parts of the game are. It is top-down isometric, so in that way, it borrows from MOBAs, okay? Or RTSs, but yep. MOBAs is probably the best example. It also plays and controls a lot like a shooter. And MOBA combined, sort of. But you... WASD around the map, and so that's how you're moving kind of you as you would a shooter, but you're not first person, obviously. You aim with your mouse, and you also use abilities with right click and regular click and all that. That stuff's there, so that's kind of its shooter lineage. And then there's a little heroes in there in that there's a skill system. You go in with a certain set of skills, and you've got a list of them, like Liam Neeson in a video game. Yep. He's got a certain set of skills. And then you augment them every round by choosing a talent, and these three like cards come up and you get to choose, and sometimes one is a damage enhancing thing, another one is a tweak to control or CC, and another one is like mobility, sometimes survival or healing, depending on the kind of character. And all these different characters have, you know, there's those that heal, those that are tanks, those that are ranged damage, and lots of combinations of the three. You can play 2-on-2 or 3-on-3 in the game. But the net, oh, and then the actual, I think, running around in a space with certain objects in the way to sort of block people and create line of sight difficulty and that kind of stuff, that's all very much arena, like WoW Arena. The combination of all those things together, I think, makes for a pretty unique experience. I really, really like it. Way more than I kind of thought I would. I went in fairly skeptical, and I thought, well, what is this thing blowing up on Steam? Overwhelming positive reviews. It's been number one and the highest selling thing for a long time. I just didn't understand, could this be as good as everyone says it is? I actually think it's really, really good. They've got a ways to go. It's early access. They're not launching this thing in full and complete until next year. But also, we're not having game-ending bugs or, you know, crashes or anything weird like that. So it feels pretty polished for an early access game. John, I'm very curious about your take. I mean, you and I have talked, of course, but... Now that some of that's settled in, do you think that the esports world / MOBA-like world is ready for another contender in Battlerite?
I think what I like the most about it is that it feels like something new. It feels like something new built from things that are familiar.
Yeah.
And I think it's cool to have something like that. In a lot of ways, Heroes was sort of like that when it came out. It was, you know, here's kind of like a MOBA, but it's built from kind of these other concepts and these other ideas, and we're throwing things out and we're doing new things. And this kind of feels like another one of those in that regard. Not that they're the same game by any stretch, but that they're taking similar concepts and constructing it into something interesting. And I really liked it. I thought it was a really compelling, like very fast multiplayer type experience to have. 'Cause the matches, I mean, you do multiple rounds, but it's like, oh, that went 2 minutes. Jeez, what was up with that one? Mm-hmm. That took a whole 2 minutes of my life right there.
Yeah.
So it's all very, very quick. And I liked it, but the whole thing that I kept coming back to the entire time I was playing it is I really wish this is what Arena in Heroes was going to be.
Mm. Yeah. Maybe it will, because you know we've got, I mean, that thing's gone under the knife. They're doing stuff to it. We don't know what yet, because no one said. There's a lot of talk that we may hear that soon. I don't know if that soon means BlizzCon or before that, but I had the thought the other night, what if Arena is this? Like, what if they went back to the drawing board and said, guys, we're calling it Arena. Why don't we make it like World of Warcraft Arena, but in the hero sense and the abilities and everything you have out of the gate just puts you right into a fight. There's not the leveling progression. Well, that's the other thing. You don't really level up in this game at all. Acquiring the talents you get are just based on the rounds finishing.
Yeah.
And the more rounds you go, the cooler stuff you get. Or actually, it's all kind of samey until you get, if you go five games, excuse me, so it's best of three. So if you end up getting, you know, a tiebreaker for a fifth game, that means you're going to get some really great ultimate thing you can get. And I should mention this, your kit's a lot of sort of, you know, three basic abilities plus an ultimate. This has a few more than that, but essentially that's it.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, the one thing that's weird is since you're doing WASD for movement, Q, E, R, and F are all your ability buttons, plus the two mouse buttons, plus you can shift into a couple of weird ones. It's kind of hard to explain that. It's not that complicated, but once you see it, you'll go, oh, okay. And it throws you off because you're used to W being this thing in a MOBA, or you know, specifically in Heroes, where you're like, well, that's an ability, right? That's part of my kit. Nope, that moves you forward.
Yeah, so, it's weird, and I ended up rebinding everything to my mouse, which solved a lot of the problems for me.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of buttons to press in that game.
Many
for
buttons.
Sure.
Many, many buttons. Many, many whelps. So recommend it. Try it if you haven't. It's something I think Bo would love if he ever gets a chance to play it. Certainly will when it goes free to play. But it's, I don't know, it's like a weird itch at scratching that I didn't actually know I had. And it's a different itch. So this isn't me going, oh, guys, I found this thing that's going to just take me away from Heroes. It's not that either.
Right.
It's but it does feel like I can fit this into my repertoire of games I like to play because it's so different. It's offering a very different experience. All that being said, hey, if Heroes turns around and says, here's Arena mode and it plays like that, that may just solve all my problems. The only problem I would, or the only worry I would have is I think that is so compelling on its own. I would worry about that overshadowing what Heroes is supposed to be at its core, which is literally having cores.
Yeah, I think because I haven't played it, but I've seen some video of it, and this, it's interesting because I think that my observations would be that you said that you enjoy it a lot, and it, I would think it's because there's less management of the strategy of the map to go on. There's no power differentials. Sometimes you play a game and you can't have a fun fight because all the fights are not in your favor. Mm-hmm. So playing from behind, you end up playing this different strategy in the game, which isn't just let me smash some heads. Mm-hmm. And from what I'm looking at in this game is that power levels just seem to be even the whole way through. And either you're better or you're worse. Like kind of like playing Street Fighter or anything else like that.
Yeah, like a shooter or Street Fighter. It's very much like that. It's a good point.
Like Duck Game, you know, like on a certain level, it's the defining factor here is that there's no map strategy involved in this. It's strictly fighting, which is what Arena on principle for Heroes should be, right?
Yeah.
But a lot of these Heroes are designed with that map strategy element in mind. So sometimes you're going to form a random Arena team and you might get Chromie and you go, man, we're not going to brawl with a Chromie. You know, get Murd in, get ETC. Let's just go all melee or something.
But it maybe helps illustrate one of the challenges that that Heroes has, which is and I was talking to John about this the other night. We have to try to do something that's fun, satisfying, exciting, all of that in about 25 to 30 minutes in a good Heroes game. And if you're playing and you're with a team that's playing poorly, or the other team is just outplaying you, sometimes that's 22 of those 30 minutes in a state of semi-misery because you just can't do much about it. You can't really quit. There's no forfeit system. If you know you're going to lose, you're going to lose. And even though Heroes has lots of sort of catch-up mechanisms, we've talked about that a million times, there's still this sense of like, well, that was a long time. I'm never going to get back. Hurry up so I can get to the next game. One of the things I liked about this experience was, and maybe what I'll like about Arena, is this get in, drop in, get right to the battling, get straight to the fights. They're strategic. They're interesting. There is map strategy, but not the way you're... I know what you mean when you say map strategy. It's not like you have to control points or, you know, all that stuff. But there's like this weird orb in the middle that spawns occasionally that you want to try to control that. There's lots of cover to get behind if things get hairy. You can use some of your abilities to create stuns on walls and things. So there's that stuff. But so even more than WoW, it does those things. But this quick in, fight real hard, get out, and the maximum round time is 2 minutes. If you hit the 2 minute mark, kind of like, remember how worms used to start to sink into the water? Do you guys remember that? Like everybody would go down to like 10 life and then the water, and then everything would just start dropping into the ocean. It reminds me of that. A big red circle starts burning toward the center of the map. And if you're caught outside of it, you start taking massive damage and will die if you stay there too long. So eventually you're playing a little hot potato in the middle. Two of you could be in this tiny little circle trying to not be the one that gets pushed out. And there's so many like force push moves and like, you know, ways to daze your other, you know, stuns and dazes and stun locks and all this kind of stuff. So you can create kinds of really interesting final plays. But the maximum time you're in there is 2 minutes per round, a maximum of 5 rounds if it goes that far. So 5 times 2, you're talking 10 minutes total spent in this thing at a maximum. And that felt really good to me. So by the same token, I don't want to spend too little time in Heroes because there's a lot to think about and do and plan over the entire sort of arcing reason you're there, be it map stuff, control stuff, mechanics, character progression, whatever it is. And at the same token, I don't want this other thing that is just purely about the skill fighting. I don't want that to be protracted and made long. I don't want those to be 5-6 minute rounds. I don't think that would work for that game. So it's this weird balance. And so I'm very curious if maybe that's why some people have a little bit of a disconnect with Heroes, because when you do have fights and battles, it is a riot, man. Sorry, I shouldn't use the name Riot. It's a blast. You get in there, 10 on 10,
it's
wham,
a, it's
wham.
It's a blizzard.
Yeah, it's a blizzard. There you go.
It's a blizzard.
It's a real Ooh. Blizzard. And don't tell Jana we stole her ability name.
It's a Valve.
It's a Valve. There you go. It's a Valve. It's an EA Sports. It's in the game. So you have this huge fight, and then you go off and you go get your coins or, you know, go kill a boss or whatever. And so it kind of has this momentum shift that can be very interesting, I think, but also can be kind of disconcerting. And this game just takes all of that out and says, fight, 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 and that's all you do. And there's something to it. I don't know what the perfect balance is. I don't know if anyone ever finds that or if Heroes evolves into something that feels like it has the perfect balance. Because I don't think any of these MMOs, or excuse me, MOBAs do yet anyway. None of them, I think, have the perfect balance. But it's at least shown me a new way to think about a game like this. And I think that thing has real legs. I'm excited to see if it... ESL announced they're going to do tournaments. It's just killing it on the charts. They're selling them like crazy. People don't seem to have a problem paying for an early access game that will be free to play when it launches. You get some benefit of doing that as a founder. But anyway, we wanted to at least bring it up, make mention of it. We got a bunch of people asking about it and how we thought it compared to Heroes. And my stance is there's something about Heroes where you think about it as more of a depth game. And this thing is more of a, I don't know, what's the comparison? It's like comparing...
It's like Smash Brothers.
There you go.
It's a smash of top-down isometric games, and probably not... I can't imagine it's the first of its kind.
No.
Or at least in principle, because, I haven't played it, but I'm watching some of the gameplay right now, and Tracer plays like they do, because she can move and auto-attack. The big difference in pace here in MOBAs is you have to stop walking to auto attack, and in that game, it looks like you're constantly moving.
Yeah, you're moving all the time, you're shooting. I mean, you're not auto attacking or locking on to anybody, but you can fire all the time. And obviously, there's reload mechanics and things that mess that up. But imagine playing Tracer in the shooter version of Tracer. That's what you're doing in this game. Like you're running around shooting shit, using your abilities, trying to remember what's the best thing to get out of stuff. You have mobility stuff, you have survival stuff, and you have damage stuff, and lots of weird little variations in between. So who knows? I guess it's just an important thing to say. Maybe Heroes Arena will be something like that. And if it is, that actually gets me pretty excited about what that might be.
I could certainly go for that. Something super quick, easy, fun, you know, something where I've got a couple friends on, but maybe not enough to get into a real game and just say, why don't we just do that? That's a cool way to kill a couple minutes. Let's do it.
How close do you guys think? So, John, if I said to you, hey, guess what? The Diablo team never did do Arena for Diablo. Remember, they were going to do that. This is that. Is that what we want? Because that's what it sounded like. Original Diablo Arena was supposed to be that, this idea, right? It was supposed to be kind of like WoW Arena, but very unbalanced and who cares, which I think would be absolutely hold true for like a 3-on-3 Heroes arena, it would be very unbalanced. I mean, you'd have certain characters you'd want, but who knows? But anyway, my point is, would that work for you if it was like, you know, we finally get whatever Diablo's arena mode ends up in Heroes of the Storm?
Oh, yeah, I'd love that. I mean, I think the biggest problem, if you look at what the quasi version of ARAM that we have in Heroes right now, the biggest issue with it is it goes too long.
Yep.
It kind of overstays its welcome. If that mode could be shortened to where it was maybe 5-10 minutes at the longest, that mode, I think, would be way more popular than it is. But I think it's a big ask to tell people, hey, you're not going to get to pick your character and you need to be invested for the next 20 to 25 minutes in this game. And I think that's asking a lot. If they could come up with a mode that was quicker and easier and just kind of pick up and play, even if you don't get to pick your character, you know, if you get a completely imbalanced, awful team, you're okay with that if it's only taking up the next 5 minutes of your life.
Right. Yeah, it's a good point. Well, I hope people check it out and let us know what they think of it and how they think that some of those ideas might integrate well into Heroes of the Storm. It's a cool game and a small developer that deserves to be supported. I like it. Let's talk about perception. I had this perception that, for example, Beau's a really nice guy and that Canadians are generally pretty nice guys, you know, and ladies. But I could be wrong. Beau could have a body in his basement. I don't know. I don't know what's going on over there with Beau Schwartz.
We do have people with bodies in their basement. Just here too.
You guys have that
it
too?
It happens.
Okay. All right.
That's well, good. Actually, I think our prime minister, his political office, somebody mailed body parts to him.
Oh.
In the mail. I know because I was working in the building like two buildings away and there's a bunch of police. And what happened? Is there a bomb? Nope. Somebody mailed Stephen Harper body parts.
Whoa.
And legit, you know, they found the guy who chopped up another human being and mailed the body parts. All Canadian, 100% Canadian branded beef in that crime. I'm not sure how to word that to make it a joke, but not to, you know, it's really actually a horrible thing that happened.
I have some memory
of
this.
I'm sorry.
No, I'm starting to remember this.
Yeah,
I think
we have our buttholes up here too. Clearly.
Yeah, the ones that cut each other up, they're kind of the worst, it sounds like.
I can honestly say when I looked at the show notes, this is not where I expected this conversation to go.
Blizzard has a perception problem and how it relates to people who Canadian. Crime up other human beings.
Right, yeah. Exactly. Well, my thinking is just, you know, perception is a nebulous, complicated thing. And Blizzard's mantra has always been easy to play, difficult to master. And in many ways, Heroes is a perfect representation of that philosophy. I would agree with that. I would also say Overwatch is a pretty good representation of that philosophy. But Heroes maybe even more so because you're talking about, I don't know, in some ways isometric games that where you click to do things, either move or select something or drag and select a bunch of things, is intuitive on a level that goes well beyond video games. It can work in your desktop environment. It works in other sort of, you know, business applications or whatever. It's a computer thing. And so in a lot of ways, probably it is the ultimate example of easy to play and difficult to master. However, it has also led to a strange notion that it is a baby MOBA. We've heard it a bunch of times. The Care Bear MOBA, right?
Yeah, Boba.
The Boba. Or the oversimplified MOBA. So I thought it'd be an interesting conversation for us to have about how Blizzard changes that perception and do they even need to? Are we should we at some point just be okay with it being that? They've always been accused of this. I remember in the early WoW days, if you were an EverQuest fan, you were ripping on all your WoW friends because you thought they were playing the kiddie MMO.
Yep.
That didn't matter what you said back to them or told them how complex any of it was or anything. They were just like, well, do you have to go get your body after you die? No, well, then it's lame. Or whatever their reasoning was, right? So their desire to make this stuff playable by as many people as possible is chiefly responsible for their success as a company. So I don't think they're ever going to lose that. So let's discuss it as if, let's discuss it in an aura of reality, which is Blizzard will always be this way. This is their thing. They're going to always make it.
They'll always be that way. Yeah. But I think one of the key differences, because I thought that too, is I remember the days of Care Bear MMO. Yeah, how do you like your baby MMO when I was playing World of Warcraft? But the thing you could always say back is, well, it's the biggest MMO.
Yeah.
It's the one that everybody's playing.
Yeah.
We don't get to say that with Heroes.
Yeah.
And I think you had actually mentioned it on Rally Point I think you had talked about, you know, is that something that MOBA players actually want? Is ease of use and easy access something that appeals to people who like this as a genre? And so I think that's where it gets tricky is, you know, Blizzard's philosophy worked really, really well in the MMO genre, but why isn't it necessarily working so great in the MOBA genre?
Yeah, you could argue that they did, they've been successful in the shooter genre. They've done it in the RTS genre. They're simplifications of existing ideas for the betterment of gameplay or accessibility, and then making it kind of difficult, the difficult to master part on top of that, has worked really well for them. It's been a very lucrative thing for them to do. You could argue that, you know, in a lot of ways, the original Diablo and Diablo 2, people didn't like those because they thought, well, these are just arcade versions of the MUDs and the true RPGs that I love from pen and paper days and even some computer games. Like, this is just a dumbing down of those genres. Now you have Diablo 3, which took a lot of what made Diablo 2 complicated and sort of difficult and arduous and simplified that stuff. And now you have the argument saying, oh, I liked it when Diablo was hardcore and now this is the baby Diablo. I feel like they can't win. When you iterate up like this, you can't win, right? So take all that and take them out of being dominant in the space that they're doing it in. Like MOBAs, they're not dominant here. They're doing okay, but they're not dominant. So you make a really good point. Like, how do you... Is it possible to look at this game and say, oh man, the reason it's not number two or one is because you just aren't addressing the raging hot player base that is League of Legends or whatever, where they want all the stuff that you think is no fun, like Last Hit and, you know, item shops and or whatever the things may be that were stripped and replaced with something different. Maybe there's just no way to grow out past that without appealing to that weird hardcore. Not weird. I don't want to say you're weird, everybody, if you're listening. I'm picking my words carefully.
There's two lines in this bar graph, and I'm doing a bad job of the bar graph. But it's you know, have you ever tried to play EVE Online?
Yeah.
It's a pretty cool game. Have you logged in and played that game at all?
Yeah, I installed it again about a month ago because every time I see something new or someone talking about it, I look at the graphics and go, man, I want to be there again. Get in, I look at what I have to do, and I go, I am out of here. I freaking hate this. I can't play this.
Sure. Yeah. But there's world PvP in that. Like, there is an aspect of, there's commerce PvP in that, auction house PvP. Like, there's all kinds of, I'm getting somewhere. I'm taking the long way around the space junker. But, you know, you get into EVE, you're like, this is a cool game, and then you realize, you start calculating the amount of time you have to spend in order to get good in the game, and you're like, well, shit. I have to get a divorce because I need to devote time to play. And this is a big decision in my life. I like games. I like my wife. Maybe I like Eve more. Like, there's this whole, like, it seems cool for a while. And then you start tallying it up in your head and you go, not for me. Mm-hmm. And I think all games have this scale. And especially, like, if you get into a game when you've had time to devote to it, and maybe you've grown a bit with the game and you have less time to devote to doing the Eve Online dance over and over again for each new game, that games that are easy to enter are accessible. And it's important. I think it's an important value on the Blizzard side for all their games that they're accessible. It like, I don't really have time for an MMO, but I'll make time for Warcraft, too much time, incidentally, because it's very easy to pick up and start enjoying right away. But a lot of other MMOs would require me to level up for months and do questing and do all kinds of stuff that I just don't have time in my life for. But you'll find that those people who've invested that amount of time don't want to leave it. And there are a lot of people who've invested time in the MOBA space before Blizzard showed up, and they don't want to leave it. And they're pretty vocal. I think that's what we're hearing, is that gamers have this perception problem of the harder it is to get into something, the more skill you have. Therefore, the more worthy it is to watch and discuss and to be put on the platform. That's why you have, like, EverQuest people saying Warcraft people are Care Bears because it's so easy to play that game. Or pretty much everyone says that, but Warcraft is awesome. So, and there is opportunities to demonstrate your skill over other people.
Right.
But that's this whole polemic gamer culture conversation of League will always hold that over in Dota, Heroes. It's never not going to be the case. Mm. It's just people have to, you know, get tired of playing League, I guess. Like, I don't think you're going to pull people out of that. Someone who thinks that basketball is a better sport than hockey or something like that. Like, they're not going to be convinced.
Because they've spent their time. You really nailed it for me. I hadn't really considered it this way. That's a really good way to put it. They've spent so much time and so much effort honing their skills, knowing what they need to be a good league player or even one that has fun or whatever the limit is. They've spent all that time. You can't get them to just leave that. And what we had with WoW was a different situation. You were asking 400,000 something EQ players and a few Anarchy Online players and, you know, a smattering of other kinds of games.
A few. Yeah. I like the idea that there were just three of them.
There's a couple guys still playing. But you had to convince those guys that was much less of a problem to convince them, because what you gave them was so much more than what those games had even hinted at. But you still had those hardcores that were like, I'm not leaving this. I've got four characters max level. They're doing all this, and this. And it's my lifestyle. Like, you're asking me to basically leave my home for a home unknown. And that's a lot to ask somebody. This is happening here because you've got 100 million league players in the world. That is insane. It's insane how many players they have. The idea of that suddenly shifting and Blizzard taking that top spot in any kind of short order is pert near impossible, as my uncle would say. So
yeah, it's again, all those people that like racquetball wishing they'd have their turn in the spotlight while the NBA hogs it all.
Yeah.
Like, racquetball is a great sport too. Let's get it on prime time.
Yeah.
It's like, at some point you just gotta accept that either you make a game, you make it the best that you can, and either people are going to embrace it. Like, there's no science behind. I think the success of Overwatch, I think when a company like Blizzard comes out and says, we can't believe how successful Hearthstone and Overwatch is, they're not being disingenuous. Like, I think a lot of people just assume that because it's got a Blizzard stamp on it, because they're craftsmen. And I'm not saying that sarcastically, it's just they have a reputation. So when they do well, there's confirmation bias there that, oh, they know what they're doing in trading cards. Mm-hmm. Any one of these things could have, if there wasn't a solid enough following, or there was no quality, Heroes is a quality product.
Yeah.
It's a very good MOBA style game. It's got strategy elements and it's got great fighting elements. It's accessible. But it's not enough. It's not enough to pull people away. Battlerite may pull more people from League of Legends than Heroes ever does.
Yeah, and you know why? Because it's an offshoot. It's a left field option. It's a thing that came out of nowhere.
Well, John said it. I can play with my friends for an hour, then go back to the real game.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Battlerite can be popular in the same way Rocket League is, because it's not really a threat to the major games. That's why Overwatch can put a ode to it, I think, in its game. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to see any league.
Yeah.
Heroes is a main course.
Yeah, that's a good point. I've said this before and I believe it to my bone. In fact, I would give all the money I have in the house, which isn't much, guys. I probably got $20 or something. But but whatever money I have in my pocket, I would absolutely bet that if Heroes of the Storm had launched in 2008, it would be the number one MOBA in the world.
Yep.
It would have defined the genre. It would have been the thing to beat. It would have done what WoW did, and more hardcore efforts based on the original Warcraft 3 mod would have a place, but they would be more like the Heroes place. They would be these distant third and fourth place things that sort of existed. That I'm absolutely convinced about that. And I know that they regret their timing, and I know that they were the WoW company at the time, and that's all hands on deck then, and knowing some inside stuff about that, I can't even imagine. I don't even know how they even announced a new StarCraft or a Diablo during any of that time. Like, it was a huge undertaking for them. But had they done it, this would be the game that everyone says has 100 million players and has a giant successful professional league, and like, all of that stuff would be true. And nothing, I don't think there's anything about the story of any of these companies that would change my mind. It just seems like the way it would go.
Well, and I'll tell you my, on this topic, yeah, my thing that I'm 100% certain of. Mm. Let's say Blizzard, for whatever reason, not that I think they would ever do this, but let's say Blizzard turned around and said, hey, you know what, guys? We want to change the perception. We don't want to be the baby MOBA anymore. And they put Last Hit and Individual Experience and they boost it up to where you get 50 different talents every time you level up, and you got to buy them with gold and all of that. And they did all the things that make the other games super complicated. If they did that, they would lose a ton of players, and I don't think they would gain almost any.
Yeah, I agree. Because why would you? The complicated thing is already out there. It's already established. So if you spent any time in it, you've done it. I mean, would people play it? Sure. But you're absolutely right. There's no way people would. I wouldn't. I wouldn't be interested in this game. I'd be done with it. I'd be like, all right, I'm going to play other Blizzard games because this one sucks. But this one speaks to me on so many levels because of all the things they changed, like you just mentioned. I don't know. It's an interesting conversation that we have here and there on the show, and I like it. I like people's feedback about it. If you guys have thoughts at home, core@heroesforyou.com. Don't worry, everyone. We're getting to Zarya and Warhead Junction. Calm yourselves down. We're getting there. We're coming up on that. But before that, what's going on with the global championships in 2017? Who's the expert here? John or Bo, who wants to take this? Tell me how it's going to work. They're taking ownership of the tournaments. It's like Riot said, hey, look what we do. And Blizzard said, I kind of like some of that. And they're doing it.
I'm pretty sure at the Blizzard meeting, they probably used this term. They said, you know what? We don't know how to announce this. Let's pull a Johnson.
Okay.
I think this is literally, they literally said, you know, Scott Johnson, he's pretty savvy marketing guy. I think we're going to pull one of him.
All right.
Because it feels like they've said nothing other than something awesome's coming in 2017 and it involves leagues. I said too much. Oh, wait, let me say this one other thing.
Yeah.
So here's the gist of it. North America, Europe, China, Korea. They're all getting a uniform online league format. And we don't know what this means. This is taken from their text. But the top 8 teams in each region will be contracted and guaranteed compensation and regular competition. They're paid professionals. They are going to shell out. Blizzard themselves are going to shell out the top 8 teams to play Heroes.
We don't know what that means in specifics. We talked about this on Rally Point to some degree. We don't know what the word compensation or regular competition means.
It's BlizzBucks.
It's BlizzBucks for now because we don't know.
Paid in BlizzBucks.
I mean,
it's a hearty pat on the head.
I mean,
they got to live on the Blizz compound.
Is it literally like, hey, here's a Days In hotel room, single bed, twin, and the phones are bolted to the table? Or, you know, I think, what is it? Like, we don't know what that is.
So,
yet.
Like, I mean, in League, the LCS, like, they have studios where they go to play these games every week, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know. Remember there was that acquisition of, what was it? Not MVP. What's the
NRG?
The company?
NRG? Energy?
No. It was NRG. MGL. Like there was a facility pot and stuff like that too. So I'm thinking, although they haven't announced it, they'll have a facility for this kind of stuff. So if you're paid to play, you fly in and that's your job now. You show up, you play your professional games. It's all speculation, but there will be the top 8 teams in 4 regions will receive paychecks. It's 5 people per team. That's like 40 people per region, I think. So 160 people on the payroll. It's a lot of pay.
Yeah.
All right. So there's going to be regular matches involving these teams. Presumably they'll be up on Twitch and YouTube or wherever else, live in your launcher, for example, and on that schedule. Mm-hmm. And there'll also be international events to include the lesser domains. Lesser is probably the wrong word. They didn't use that word, of Taiwan, Southeast Asia, Latin America, and Australia/New Zealand.
they love it when you do that, by the way, the Australians. And the New Zealanders, they love it when you say that they're kind of the same, so you just put a slash between them. They love that.
Yeah. It's like the same thing. Just a couple islands. All right. I'm sorry. I'm just kidding. Come on. No, you guys know I'm kidding, right?
Yeah, of course.
Like, clearly, you have your own cultural identity, and you both love Heroes in equal amount.
Yeah. One of them says, that's a knife. They're not, that's not a knife. This is a knife. And the other ones say, band mating. So you have both those types.
You got it.
You're
got
accurate. It. Right. Yep. You found the way to tell them apart.
Yep.
All right. So they'll also have a promotion and relegation system. So twice a year, the two best teams from the open division, the amateur unpaid leagues, will face off versus those people at the bottom, two bottom tiers of the paid people. So they'll be fighting to put food on the table. So that'll be twice a year. And there's more to come. That's all that was really said, but that's exciting. We've talked about that a lot on the show, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
And so interesting that I didn't see this coming, personally. I actually thought, because we just talked about Heroes' perception problem, it sounds like they're like, oh, yeah? we've got a paid league. Does Dota have a paid league? I don't know. They might. I don't know.
League does, but Dota's is more like crowdfunded, you know, skins pay for everything sort of deal, which I actually think there's some real value in as well. But this is a big deal and they're leaning into it. Like, this isn't them just saying, we're going to try something else because the last idea didn't work or whatever. This is them saying, this is them doing what I think Blizzard does, which is when they launch a product, they fully intend to support that damn thing. Doesn't matter for how long or for what the deal is. They believe in it. They wouldn't have made it to market if they didn't. They cancel stuff because they don't feel that way about them. You can look back at a million projects at Blizzard that got canceled. All of them would have been profitable games, but they didn't for one reason or another. Heroes made it. So it made it because it's good. And in their mind, whatever that takes to do it. I think they experimented the first year and went, well, looks like the competitive side of this didn't form up the way we had hoped. And having a couple of teams drop out after the first run is a little weird, but it's a little ramshackle. And do we really want to wait around for the pro scene to do this for us? Like, because that's what they're basically doing is saying, all right, all you team owners, these disparate teams and ownerships that are all over the globe, you guys all make it work. And that didn't work. So you're also finding for Riot in a lot of ways and a lot of aspects of what they do, it doesn't work for them either. They're struggling with a couple of things right now, as big as they are. You know, the Dota 2 scene is a little bit more stable, and you could probably learn some lessons about how they're doing it. But I think this is just Blizzard saying, well, all right, we tried it that way. Basically, letting the, you know, crowd, what's the word? Crowd wisdom do it. And it didn't happen. So now we're going to do it this way. And I think this shows real initiative. This shows real commitment. If you're worried about Blizzard's commitment to the game in a competitive way, I think you should stop worrying about that. They clearly want to do this right and find their path. So I see it as nothing but positive. John, where's your head on this?
For some reason, the analogy that keeps coming to my head is like a middle school dance. And like everybody is just lined up against the wall looking at each other instead of dancing.
Yeah.
They're all just like awkwardly looking and like, who's going to dance?
Yeah.
I don't know. Somebody's going to dance.
Yeah.
And now Blizzard's finally like, you know what? We're done trying to court people by just standing here awkwardly and being like, notice me. Let's just get out on the floor and dance.
Yeah.
And they're bringing a bunch of people. Well, it's going to sound bad if I say they're paying a bunch of people to come with them, but you know what? That's kind of what they're doing. So
yeah, and all those too cool for school guys that went out to smoke pot are all of a sudden going to come back in because it got happening. Like Cloud Nine. They're like, we're out of here.
Dancing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, guarantee they're coming back.
All those people come up. Oh, there's money in here?
Yeah.
Are you paying money? Yeah. Who'd like a sponsorship?
Sure.
Pretty sure they're coming back. Yeah, I'm excited for it, and this is a first for Blizz, right?
Like, yeah,
this is the first time they haven't done anything like this.
Previous, not even with StarCraft. I mean, they do a lot of their own tournaments, and of course, BlizzCon's a part of that. But no, they've never done it like this. And their theory is that this is just what the game needs. I think they're probably right. At the very least, what I like about a big part of this is, it isn't just going to the big wigs, existing big wigs, and saying, here you go, let's just have you do what you're doing in other games. Let's have you do the exact same freaking thing here. What they're doing is a little more grassroots, and potential talent can come from anywhere in this model. So that's what excites me the most. We're going to see players come out of nowhere and go, oh my gosh, I am following that guy till he's done playing this game. Like, he is so good. And on that team, there's so much synergy. These are people we would have never known about. Instead of the same old faces, the same old teams, the same old switcheroo where somebody hires somebody and then has them drop out last second so another team can pay more money for them and all the weird business crap that's going on around various esports right now, this is Blizzard's way of saying, you know, let's buy all the existing pro pitchers in the MLB, how about instead we go around and find some really talented high school pitchers that we might be able to bring up into the league. That's a way more interesting prospect. And it also lets them build their own stuff. Like, you don't need to be League. You can be Heroes. Well, what is Heroes? And this is them trying to define that, I think.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's good news.
I'm looking forward to finding out who all the good players are that didn't come play Heroes initially, who are brought in because of this too.
If you guys want to hear Sam Milkfat Braithwaite, got a rough name, who said in his interview, by the way, when I was a kid playing WoW, and I shed a little tear and had to pause it for a minute. but anyway, when he was a kid. Anyway, so he's in charge of that stuff over there, a big part of the team. And on the latest episode of Beyond the Nexus that Blizzard produces, episode 14 to be exact, their video show about heroes and the competitive scene, they talk at length about what this means. So we recommend checking that out for sure. All right, let's talk about Zarya and Warhead Junction. They launched Zarya in her little bundle. She's got her normal skin thing that looks like she's straight out of Compton. No, out of Overwatch. And then the other thing she's got is like some kind of weird Thor-looking Russian, I don't know, combo deal. I don't know what she's supposed to be in that skin. It's fine, though. It's fine.
But it's good. Thunder God. It looks good.
All right. Yeah. Thunder God Zarya. She looks good. So she's out. Warhead Junction's out. I didn't play Warhead Junction on the PTR. I did play her a little bit on the PTR and now a little bit more since she's been on the live server today. And I have two things to say. One, I really like how she feels, but I think she's way underpowered right now. And I think we've all talked about this offline. We may want to detail that a little bit more here in a second. But before we do all that, first time in Warhead Junction, I'm absolutely in love with the look of it, the sound of it, the everything of it. I'm not good at knowing what the hell to do and when yet. I'll get there. But everything about that map screams to me everything I loved about early StarCraft and Brood War. And I love it. So that's my review of that thing. Bo, you played Zarya right before the show with me. Let's get your impressions. Then let's go around to John. I want to know what everyone's thinking about our new character.
It's going to take me a while to warm up to her. Yeah. Wasn't having fun. Because her Overwatch incarnation... Tanks in that game still are lethal, and you go for killing. And tanks, the tank class nomenclature in this one is very, you create opportunities, you save your teammates, you do all kinds of stuff, and you do damage depending on, you know, your kit or whatever. But she feels like, I want to shoot people in the face.
Yeah.
Except I got to walk up to them, and then they walk away, and then I'm not shooting them anymore. The grenade doesn't do a ton of damage. And then I've got these support talents. Like, I don't have any mobility. I'm not liking her right now. Like, I didn't enjoy it.
There's
I
no engage. Say, there's no
save your money and wait.
There's no engage or disengage at all. John was talking about earlier today. John, do you think that's a huge downside for Zarya? Because I feel like it might be. She needs something to get the hell out of Dodge occasionally.
Yeah, I think it hurts, but I think it hurts more because her numbers are so bad. So last week I mentioned I played her in try mode a little bit, and I saw problems there, but I hadn't really heard if they were going to actually be problems, and now I'm kind of back this week to be like, yep, they're problems. Mm. She has an awesome kit. I love her kit on the theory level,
yeah.
But I feel like every place where you can put a number, it's the wrong number that they've put there. Because Zarya needs to work in that you're afraid to hit either her or you're afraid to hit the target she's shielded because of what she will do to you if you do that. So that's the balance. It's not supposed to be that that shield mitigates a ton of damage, which, congratulations, it doesn't.
Yeah.
But The idea is that you need to look at it and say, oh, crap, they're shielded. I need to stop shooting or I'm going to get wrecked by this character because I'm going to make her more powerful. And a full-powered Zarya not only runs out of steam very quickly, but does almost nothing in the damage front, even fully charged, in comparison to other characters. So you're not really afraid to shoot people with shields. The shields don't really do a very good job of protecting them. And if she's trying to do damage, she's not doing it particularly well. Yeah. So
for you, John.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you know if it boosts up the grenade, the charge?
Yes, or is it does.
It does. Okay.
And the best that I've been able to do with Zarya as far as damage is going fully boosted and just unloading a full stack of grenades at a target when I know they're going to be in one spot, maybe because I use my ultimate, which again, going back to the numbers, has too long of a cooldown, and then been able to dump on them with my laser the entire time. But I mean, that was like a perfect situation, and that was the only time that I felt like her damage was really threatening. And I don't know, it just... everything feels a little bit off, and I mentioned this to you guys offline, and I'll say it here as well. Part of me wonders if when you're dealing with a character that's going to be shielding damage and then having a big spike in their damage depending on what other players are doing. Part of me wonders if maybe Blizzard was afraid of that character potentially being too overpowered and said, well, let's go out with low numbers and work our way up as needed, as opposed to having to go the other way. I don't know that for a fact, but everything about it feels...
Yeah. We could kind of say that for like the last eight heroes. They were worried it'd be overpowered. So,
yeah.
And some of them find their niche. Aurel and Chromie have found their spots, and even Medivh is seeing pro play. But yeah, I don't know. Alarak still not really playing them. Zarya looks and sounds great. I like actually playing her, but I'm with you, John. I don't know what to do. One additional little thing on the gripe side too is, because she has two shield abilities, I always forget which one's my shield and which one's the shield for other. Like, which, because it's different in Overwatch too, because it's WE here, but W's move forward in Overwatch. So I'm always like,
oh yeah, good point.
How does it work? Which one's the right one? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
I think it'll take some time, but once again, it does feel like underpowered UP instead of OP for these launches. I wish it was closer to just P. I really don't feel like since Li Ming has something felt a little OP at launch. I can't think of another character that has.
I mean, Ariel's been solid, but that's kind of the standout in the whole batch.
Yeah,
I would say, and I don't want to sound like I'm harping too much on her. I love the kit, and I really want to like Zarya.
Yeah,
it's just right now, I haven't found a way to do that yet.
Yeah. It'd be nice if, I don't know. It's impossible to not look at her and not think of Tychus. Like, okay, who else has a giant gun he holds with two hands and moves slowly with and fires a lot? Well, he moves when he does it. So that's kind of cool. He has grenades that knock people back. That's kind of cool. And he has get out of jail moves, which is super cool. And she's been given none of those things, yet she's sort of got the same. I mean, he's got grenades. He has grenades with concussion. She has grenades that just hurt you. And that's fine. And you need damage, and that's great and all. But yeah, there's just like, if I'm choosing between the two characters in a tight situation or a game where I need to be as on point as possible, I think I'm probably going Tychus. And they're not even the same class. One's a warrior and one's a freaking, you know, assassin. So I don't know. She's in a weird place for her first day. Obviously, we need to give her some time. I think she looks great. I think she feels good. Like, the feel of her. Well, like you keep saying her kit's good, and I think that's what feels good to me. I like the rotation. I think she feels good. But I should really stop saying she feels good out loud. That sounds weird.
No, it's fine. You're allowed to like what you like. We don't judge here on floor.
She feels great, and I want her to be good, and so I don't know what that means in terms of the future or whatever, but I guess I am getting a little worried, but we're at a point where it's like, deserved or not, we have feelings about characters that are a little negative. Like, oh, Chromie, you could have been so cool. Oh, Gul'dan, the ultimate baddie right now in the Warcraft universe. You could have been the greatest nemesis of all time, but instead you're just kind of meh, right? I don't want to feel that way about these characters. So I don't know what they do to change that. I don't know how they fix that. Maybe it's just because everything's unbalanced when you put somebody new in. I don't know.
They need to tone it down a bit, because everything leading up to all these hero releases is introducing Zarya to the Nexus. She's amazing and has all these abilities. And you know, you got, I think it's Kevin Johnson, Cloaken, who does all the voices, you know, the narration of the abilities. And you got a sweet trailer. And then you play her, and it's like, it's just not the experience you get in the marketing. You're like, well, this isn't, I was told this would be awesome, and I'm losing all my games now, and I've stuck with this character. So that's what needs to happen. They need to be like, Zarya's an okay hero. She's great VO and art, but you might not win a lot of games with her, but you should still buy her because you like heroes. I think we're onto something here.
Maybe. Like, just tone the marketing down.
Just tone down the marketing. And that way we'll be like, man, the marketing undersold this thing so much. She's really great.
Yeah.
I mean, I think maybe we're going to see it balance out over time. And because the way I see it is this. This is my philosophy on it. One of the things that happens with any game, we've seen it with Hearthstone, it just is a constant with any competitive game, is you get power creep. Where the new is always better than the old.
Right.
And it feels like maybe they're very cognizant of that. And so the new is very complex and very fancy compared to the old.
I see what you mean. Yeah.
And I think as a result, it's not ever overtaking it, which is good because we're not dealing with power creep where it's like, oh no, you can't play Muradin. He's one of the first characters they ever made, so he's awful.
Right.
Like, I'm glad we're not there, but the problem is they're not putting any new warriors in the game that are making me say, oh, I want to play that over Muradin. So I think what you're going to see more of is like what happened with Nazeebo. They revisit, they rework, they take away some of the ideas and concepts that were relevant at the time that Nazeebo came out, and they say, well, guess what? You shouldn't be able to just throw your jar of spiders and get spiders. We're going to make it a skill shot. You got to be a little bit better with that if you want to be a Nazeebo player now. Yeah. And that now can potentially make another specialist that does things similar to Nazeebo more appealing, whereas you would before just say, no, I'm going to play Nazeebo. He's easy.
I just thought of an idea to fix Nazeebo and my problem with him today. I'm so glad you just said what you said, because I think it hit me.
I have a theory too, but I'll let you do yours first.
When I throw the jar,
okay,
if I hit, great, out come the bugs and they start biting the feet, right?
Yeah.
If I throw the jar and I miss, even just barely, can I please, Blizzard, have the bugs still come out and just sit there and not do anything? Because either way, are there bugs in the damn jar or aren't there? Like, I'm not trying to be all picky on lore or, you know, canon or whatever, but at least I would say, oh, they're blue and dormant. That means they're not doing anything. And that means I missed and they don't know who to attack. I would be okay with that. I need some indicator of something that I was bad or I was good, and just an empty jar ain't cutting it for me. Were there spiders in that damn jar or not, Blizzard? Were there? It's a philosophical question. Don't think about it too hard. Did you see what I mean? All right, what were you going to say?
Yeah. They need to give Nazeebo a new skin. They need to give him a skin where he appears as that boy in Breaking Bad that the guy shot.
Oh.
Wow, that got dark. He looks nothing like Nazeebo. He just has a jar with a spider in it.
Yep, he has a jar with a spider. Hey, look, I cannot help it. Every time we talk about Nazeebo, I picture that kid and that Todd shot. It's the only thing I can picture of.
Yeah.
That should be the skin. It should be a Jesse Plemons skin. Because he could do the shaking, and you know, he's got the creepy sort of
Jesse Plemons skin in Heroes of the Storm. And he should be pushing around a wheelbarrow with a kid's hand sticking out holding the jar. There you go.
It comes with a bundled mount of the motorbike for the kid.
And he's got the kid's head. He's holding the kid's head. That's what he has. Because, you know, he's got a fetish. Yeah. He holds a knife and a fetish.
Yeah.
So he's got the little boy's head. Nope. And he's got a meth pipe in the other.
Just so everyone at home knows, we are talking about a fictional television show, not a real occurrence of anything. All right.
Kid is still alive.
Yeah,
the spider's probably still okay as well.
He's a fine actor, and Jesse Plemons isn't a psychopath. It's all good.
He got a little chunky. It's fine.
He did for Fargo.
Most of his clothes off in Fargo.
Yeah, that's right. He's in some new movie I want to see. I forgot what it was called. Anyway.
New Titans.
Yeah, it was a little off the topic. All right. Hey, what else? Warhead Junction. Any thoughts on that before we move on? I think it's cool. I really like
it. It's fun. We need to play more games.
Yeah.
It's really cool so far.
It seems neat.
I love it.
Yeah. Everything about the look of it, though, like the art in there, just rubbing me all kinds of right ways. So that sounded bad. Let's move on. Some sweet bonus patch stuff. Things that Bo ripped through and found. Bo, give us the quick and dirty on the stuff they... I don't know.
I'll give the community team credit because they highlighted in orange for me. Just real quick running through some of, we covered all the changes last week. Nothing really shifted around. If it did, if it was so small, it's not worth talking about. But Snowball Holdout, otherwise known as Brax's Holdout, they made some changes to make the early game less snowbally. Not going to detail them all, but essentially the early Zerg waves will be less powerful. Okay. So hopefully, like they were saying, we see a lot of games kind of one-sided on our end, so we're fixing. So expect your Braxis games to be more hold out and or less hold out and more hold in. Okay, anyways, moving on.
All right.
Alarak, everyone's favorite crusty hand hero.
Yeah.
He's seen tiny buffs to his lightning surge, and the counter strike now gives you unstoppable. And basically, they're acknowledging that they were worried he'd be overpowered, as John said, like a lot of heroes, soothsayer John. And mm-hmm. so they are starting to bring him up a little bit in tiny little amounts. So hard to say. I find it hard to do much with him. So none of this looks. None of this looks impressive
it's
yet.
It's very incremental with him. Nothing major with him yet.
Well, yeah. We'll see. Maybe it's enough.
I'll try it.
Yep.
I liked playing him. He was fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I've started to make a decision where if heroes are in these experimental phases, I'm going to avoid playing them until someone else decides they're ready.
Oh, wow.
Because I don't... Because clearly there's something wrong with them. Meaning if I'm trying to play to win, why would I play heroes that are identified by the development team itself as needing a balance change? This is kind of an indication if you're trying to pick the best heroes, pick the ones that aren't touching too much.
Yeah.
All right. Chromie as well. So she has a talent at 13 that increases the range of Sandblast and Dragon's Breath by 25%. So they've reduced that to 15 and they've baked in the 6% range increase. Again, if you love Chromie, you love hearing this maybe. If you don't, you don't care.
Mm. sorry. All right.
Gul'dan. It seems like every show we're talking about his talent corruption. You now need 40 corruption stacks. This is like a next separate talent. Okay. Why not 100 stacks? Like just tune it up to 100. You hate this talent. Just put it up to 100.
Yeah.
It started at 30 and went from 35 and is now 40. It's the fell fart is bigger. So your green fell fart thing will fit farther.
Oh, good.
And the most interesting thing here is health funnel. There was a talent that if you killed something while you were draining life, Gul'dan style, it reduced the cooldown of drain life for 7 seconds. It now just fully resets. And this is great because when I played Gul'dan, I've settled on this being actually the best way to self-heal. Because you have a lot of talents that'll kill minions and tap and give you Hellstone. There's always stuff to drain in range. And killing it, just like especially a minion wave, you can top yourself off really quickly. This is a really important talent. And I took notice of this one in particular. So
it's one I've been taking as well. And this is also coming on the back of a lot of, you're going to get more mana when you health tap. So, you know, last week we kind of complained a little bit that his trait wasn't very good. And this is not making it better, I don't think, but it's at least minimizing some of the impact. You're going to get more bang for your buck across the board with him now on it.
All right.
There's a few other changes in this, too. These are the notable ones, but there are some mana cost reductions in there. Mm. Butcher Furnace Blast cooldown reduced from 80 seconds to 60 seconds. So let's hope Butcher's OP and pick him lots, because sounds good to me.
Yeah.
Vala, minor buffs to her auto attack build. I don't know what's going on with Vala. There was a lot of little notes in here, but it looked like unreadable. But in the developer notes, they were saying that the auto attack build is getting buffed. So, okay. They're trying to make it viable. All right. Artanis, I didn't put this in here. He remains great.
Yep.
Whoever Confirmed. Wrote this, I think wants me to say this. And B, a shield bug has been fixed, which I think works out to be a buff.
Oh,
it's a little hard to tell. The verbiage of it is basically there were times where when you took a particular talent, shield overload, it would not correctly overwrite the previous shield when it activated. So it sounds like a buff. Trixler seemed excited about it, so I'm assuming it's a buff because.
Well, if Trixler said it, then it's definitely a buff.
Sure.
If he's excited about it, it's got to be a buff. And Bo, I'm going to just say you made a really great point. Artanis remains great. So thank you for that. He does. Yeah.
Sure. He's pretty awesome. There's been additional improvements to the Heroes of the Storm overall frame rate. I love this one because no matter how good your computer gets, this game reportedly chugs along for a lot of people. So
I noticed that today in our game, by the way.
Yeah. It's very smooth today.
Yeah, I could tell.
I noticed that as well.
A new map and everything that seemed to be kind of complicated in terms of its look and feel, and yet I felt a real smooth experience. So I am really glad to see that they are, you know, continually improving that.
That was my favorite patch note, honestly.
Yeah.
I mean, aside from the Chen stuff, which I'm excited to try.
Stuff matters, especially when you're being competitive. You need some nice, fast, beefy stuff. I got a real quick question. I'm noticing that, let's see, do we have any new ones yet? I'm going to just check real quick here. Yeah, the new. So I was trying to find some Nazebo builds. Like, what are people doing with this stuff today? There are no new builds since August 5th on either Heroes Nexus or Heroes Fire, which is a real bummer. So I don't know what to do tonight. Anyway, we'll watch later. If you guys want to see us stream this, by the way, after the show, we're definitely going to be doing that. We got a quick plug to make. And I like making plugs. So at the Con Before the Storm at BlizzCon, a now 3 year running, is it 3 years running, right? Since they started it, I think.
Three or four, I think.
Maybe four.
It was very small the first year, and then it grew very quickly.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think we're at 3 or 4 years.
John and I last year sat on a little 2-man panel and talked about Heroes. This year we are going to be joined by myself. They have me moderating, and then John, Kyle Ferguson from Into the Nexus, Ryan Reeder, Lords of the Storm. We know Ryan. Ryan's great. And Vincent, I never know how to say his last name, from Hotscast.
I think it's Minucci.
Is it Minucci from Hotscast? Yeah. I'll get that right by the time I'm moderating. But anyway, we're going to talk about Heroes of the Storm up there, and there are more details coming. There was even a hint of, hey, maybe we should do a mini Nexeperty up there. I don't know if I feel good about that without Bo being physically there, because that would suck without Bo.
No.
That would be a bummer.
Unless you want me to be an omniscient voice and Skype into me, and we could sort that out.
It's like doing
that would be great.
That could be cool. Yeah. We'll see what happens. I don't know what's possible, but that is the plan. If you're going to be at BlizzCon and you have all sorts of interest in what's happening in Heroes, that's a pretty stellar panel, and I'm really excited to be a part of that. So please come and check us out. It will be at the Hilton. I think it's fourth floor again. Not sure about that. The fourth floor? I don't know.
We'll talk more about it as we get closer.
Yeah, we're getting closer. It's all coming very fast. It's in our face now. Anyway, so watch for that. Going to be a blast. Can't wait. Check out this. All right, normally this would be where I'd read that email I read earlier, but I'm not going to read that one. Instead, I'm going to pull one from random in our recent emails. And here's one, somebody who refers to us as Corehounds. That is the proper way to address us. Yep. And it says this, Dear Corehounds, from Nick Nickerson. Great name, by the way. I've recently ran into an issue where one of my placement matches wasn't showing up on my account. Over the past few days, I played 5 ranked games, won all 5, though it only claims I've only played 4 matches total in the ranked screen. My match history shows the 5 ranked games as it should. The first few games counted correctly, but the fourth did not show up at all. There was no issues with the disconnecting of servers or any kind of server lag during the match, or the match not counting in regards to any of the technology. Which was the fourth game I played. I played Tyrael. I don't know what that means. Anyway, it even shows Tyrael as my most played hero with 2 wins. I played him for 2 out of 5 games. I get that this isn't that big of a deal, and I'll just end up playing another match, but it's lame that a win doesn't count. I tried to contact Blizz support to report the bug, but it's insanely difficult if you've never tried that before. My issue is kind of weird, and the support ticket option didn't fit the bill, except for the report a bug, which is creating a topic on the forum and hoping they respond. Goes on to sort of say some of the same stuff, kind of just reinforcing that. His nickname is Business Jerk. Thank you for all you do for the community. And so, Nick, that's a bummer. And it feels like something they should fix, right? If the math says you did this, if all the other math supports that you won the match and played the match, then that one statistic, which actually affects your advancement, should reflect it. And I feel like he should be able to get some results.
I think you should talk to Martha and reread this question again.
To Martha? Who's Martha?
Dear Martha.
Hold on. I'm going to do it right now.
Bo's apparently not feeling very sympathetic today.
Here, Bo.
Dear Martha, I tried so hard to place well and do you justice and honor my wife, yet one of my placement games was robbed from me by the scoundrels at the Blizzard Entertainment Emporium.
Your accent, it's real good.
It's so horrible. It's atrocious. I'm on a boat back to Boston post haste. Yours truly, Nick Nickerson.
All right, that was actually pretty damn good.
We love your name, dude. It's just, it's perfect.
That was
it's
perfect
just,
for the role playing.
Perfect. Yeah. Everything was perfect, dude. You know what? I didn't make Masters last season, and I put in, I think, 500 to 600 games. And in those games were plenty of just shitter games. I'm sorry. I'm just going to say it. People who just threw completely. You've just got to take it on the chin. It's just going to happen. There's nothing you can do.
So in a case like this, is it
critical one?
Unless it's a game-wide bug or something, there's just not a lot they're going to... I mean, they can't do every one of these little things, right? I guess they can't.
So I had this bug last season.
We've got a first-hand experience. Okay, John.
Yep.
How would you approach this? All right.
I did it.
Okay, you ready?
In a match I lost, so just I kidding. Loved it.
Oh, you did?
Dearest Martha, today we went out to the field of battle. On the field, well, we all died. But it's okay, because for some reason I'm alive again to fight another day. In your name, Nick Nickerson.
Oh, that's amazing.
All right. But no, my point is you'd probably feel a little different if this was a game you had had lost, yeah. Like I did. I got in and it was a terrible match. Mm. My teammates were fighting, they were arguing, nobody wanted to play. We had a guy sit the core, and we got stomped. Yeah. And I was like, well, that's a great first way to get into placements. And then next thing I know, that match never showed up on my tally. I'm not sure why. I'm not sure if it was a bug. I'm not sure if Blizzard has some metric that can happen in a match where they decide to just throw the match out. But I was happy because I was on the losing team. So, I mean, I can see it sucking to be on the winning team, but, you know, you might feel different if you had lost that match.
I think the bottom line is don't get hung up on one single match is kind of what everybody's saying, though. Right. The
quality of 99% of your or more of your games is good, but every now and then you queue into versus AI and get the Singapore server, which happened to me. I just did an AI game and I had like 5,000 ping. I didn't want to leave it, so I had to, you know, so you're just going to, it's just, they can't guarantee 100%.
Where is Singapore on a map, though?
Singapore.
Oh. Singapore. Sing, comma, you're poor. Like that.
Like the sewing machine.
You
right?
don't have to be poor anymore. How's that old song go? I used to love that song. Hey, poor. Remember that? What's that song called? Hey, poor. You don't have to be poor anymore. Hold on. We're going to find it because now you don't know. Hold on. This is a great song.
Yep.
Here it is. Front 242. That was the band.
Dear Martha.
Okay. I'm going to play just a taste of it so we don't get in trouble here.
Hey, poor.
Yeah.
Hey, poor.
Hey, poor.
You don't have to be poor anymore.
You don't remember this? It's great.
If he said core, we could use this as a theme song.
Oh, hey, core, you don't have to be core anymore. Wait, that doesn't work. That sounds bad. Oh, this is so good. Jesus is here. Jesus is here. It's such a good song. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, good. Yeah. I wouldn't have known if this song hadn't told me, Scott. I was worried. I was like, where is he? I was looking for Jesus. Turns out
he's here. He's been here the whole time. Here.
Looking right at him.
Tony wrote in and says, say hello to my little friend. No, he says, I'm listening to the recent episodes where you're talking about the BW visual changes. BW.
Brightwing.
Oh, Brightwing. Right. Sorry.
Who is Brightwing?
Who
is? I got a loot box.
Congratulations, Bo. You are correct.
Yeah, well done. Just kidding. It says, I have an idea. I haven't finished the episode, so you could very well have brought this up. When they update the models, would it be possible to include the old models in addition to the new models, like a skin variation? This would give the new model to those who want it, and the old model can stick around for those who prefer that one. Love the show. Tony, here's the problem with that. I totally get where he's coming from, and that kind of makes sense from a practical standpoint. But they don't want to start tracking multiple models in the game. There are hitbox issues. There are animation issues. There are lots of reasons why two models is not better than one. So I don't think they'll do that. Now, could they skin that model to look a little closer or something? Maybe. But that fish face thing that Bo doesn't like and all that, that's going to probably persist. So, yeah, that's my opinion. Do you guys differ on that?
Yeah, they said that it comes accompanied with technical issues, too. So your improvement to the model is also changing the underpinnings of things on their end for skins and stuff. So yeah. I'd rather them not waste their time on it. Have one model, that's your hero, and buy skins if you don't like the base one.
Yeah. And give us,
if it's, if it's just the change for skins, I'm all for it. But if they're actually changing the core model, I think that they need to be 100% on board with doing those changes. Yeah. Because the other thing you have to keep in mind is when they do this, they typically have to do it for the other skins as well.
Right. And it's not that other skins can't have additional geometry, but that's the point. It's additional geometry, not taking away or reshaping geometry. So if you're going to have, I don't know, I'm trying to get a good example. Like one of the helms on Nazebo is this giant freaking dartboard looking thing. It's way more geometry than he used to have, but it's all based on the existing vertices of his model. So you can't, I don't think they can do multiple models. And then you start asking for it across the board and everyone's got two models and then it's a nightmare.
I like that this might be his sports skin for Nazebo, would be the dartboard on the face.
Oh, that'd be good.
That would be
He's
good.
Got a poison dart. He literally has that ability in the game. And the other thing could be a bowling ball or something.
I'm in.
Yeah.
You've convinced
me. Good one.
You've convinced me. Thank you to Tony for the email. Thank you, everybody who emails us. core@heroesforyou.com is the email address. You can also leave us voicemails at 801-471-0462. Be looking for some of those to be playing soon. We got like 8 of them for the show over the week, but they were all 6.5 minutes plus long. Just a reminder to people, you want to be like 30 seconds to a minute for this show. Anything longer means either too much editing or it's just too long. So don't make them that long. Make them like short and sweet and they'll make it on the show. That I can guarantee you. It's going to do it for us. Big thanks to Alpha Geek Radio for streaming the show today on audio. You can join us in game /joinfrogpants and play with us and other listeners. Once again, on Twitter, you can find the show at Core Heroes. You can find John at John_Jagger. And you have to move like him to enjoy his Twitter account. I don't know what that means. Also, Bo Schwartz and me, Scott Johnson. That's going to do it for us. Until next week, everyone have a great week for me, for Bo, for John. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
I like a good mount. Pew, 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 pew.